As we observe the 16 days of activism, Radio Miraya will be bringing you different discussions around GBV and other issues affecting women and girls in South Sudan. Now, GBV is one of the most critical threats to women and children in South Sudan, with 65% of women and girls having experienced physical and or sexual violence in their lifetime, and 33% having experienced sexual violence from a non-partner. While government and partners continue to work around the clock to tackle the issue from time to time, and in South Sudan, the EU is one of those organizations implementing GBV projects across the country, and some of the support including training of legal practitioners to handle GBV cases and strengthening institutions responsible for safeguarding gender equality. Well, this morning, the EU ambassador to South Sudan, Christiane Bader, and civil society activist Lorna Merikhaje joined me to discuss key issues surrounding GBV in South Sudan and the support the EU is providing to different actors to eliminate the menace. Well, good morning, and thank you so much for making our time to join me.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah, so we'll start with the EU ambassador. Why is GBV in South Sudan nearing epidemic proportions?
Well, there are many reasons for this. You know, the first one I would say is violence. I would never say that South Sudanese are basically violent people, but violence has been part of the history of the country for ages. And if violence prevails for all this time, people tend to believe it's something almost normal.
Right.
And this is one reason. The other reason, and this is more about a sort of patriarchal social norms which are widespread in the country, not in all communities, but in some communities that we all know, women are a little bit seen as commodities, you know, and there is a marginalization which starts at school. When we see some statistics, I don't know whether we can believe, but I've seen recently that 77% of men in this country and 80% of women, that's even more, thinks it's quite normal at a certain point if you have to beat your wife.
Right.
So that's like really something which is deep into the society. And then, of course, we always have the problem of the implementation of law. Law and order is a problem because violence exists everywhere, but then it has to be tackled. It cannot go without any consequences. Mm-hmm. And this is also what we are trying to do, as you mentioned it, is to try to make sure that people have access to justice.
Right. And as you said, law and order is actually a challenge here, because we see killings happening and all we see are strong-worded letters. We condemn in the strongest term possible and stuff like that. Is that one way to tackle this, or more needs to be done?
Condemning it's not the only thing to do. You know, we have GVB courts. This is very important. I think we have one in Juba that we helped implementing, and I think there is a will there, but you know that there are challenges, you know,
right.
the financial challenges, then people who testify need to be protected. It's not easy. It's not easy in the West. It's not easy here, you know. So this is an issue. Then having gender-based GBV courts out of Juba is even more challenging, you know, because the violences are not only happening in Juba, they're happening in remote places where this is a basic problem of access to services, and justice being one of these main services. So this is a very challenging issue.
Right. Ambassador, I'll get back to you. Lorna, how are women and girls dealing with this kind of situations and the trauma and experience this comes with it?
Thank you very much, Irene. And as we go through this season of 16 days of activism against sexual and gender-based violence, I think it's important that we think of psychosocial support for the survivors. And women and children, I would like to look at it in two ways. The immediate survivors and those around the survivors.
Mm.
For the survivors, it's a harrowing experience, and they actually need that support. What has been happening, because we don't have systems for that support,
right.
for offering psychosocial support, you realize that they close up with the trauma, and that actually impacts the entire life of this person, because the quality of the engagement, whether they are children, their quality of engagement in school deteriorates, or if they even women who are working, women who go through sexual and gender-based violence, they, their performance at workplace goes down, and
right.
that is so bad
right.
because then it affects their it affects them mentally. And if a mother is mentally affected, then even raising up the children plus the boy child in that family becomes a problem.
Indeed.
Number two is that to other women, all the time we hear about a sister going through this situation, it hits us very hard because you don't know when yours is going to come. So all of us are potential victims as we live around.
Right.
It has become endemic in this country. And I think it's something that need to be looked at in a more comprehensive way. And I would say that these issues we're talking about, when we talk about sexual and gender-based violence, nobody is immune to it. Nobody is immune.
Yeah, everybody's a potential victim.
Regardless of your political status, regardless of socioeconomic status. Unfortunately, I will say this without fear of contradiction, that sexual and gender-based violence in this country happens in offices too. So the question is, how do we address that?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you so much for that. Yes, now, the government has been called to enact the anti-gender-based violence bill to ensure accountability and to end impunity, including for conflict-related sexual violence. But can we expect this enactment soon? And can we also expect this law to be actually enforced by the authorities?
I think it's a good step that we are moving towards legislating against sexual and gender-based violence. As we all know, legislations are responsive to the context. And in our context, sexual and gender-based violence has become a problem. We need to legislate against it. In regard to implementation, I would go back to what Ambassador has said about the GBV court. We need to focus more. We need to invest in some of these mechanisms. Even the legislation, after it's enacted, it's important for us to educate the caregivers and educate those who are supposed to protect these women and protect the society about the importance of implementing this law.
Right.
I think the other thing is that you could see gap in our law enforcement, because then they themselves, to some extent, do not even understand the issues of rights, plus their own rights. So it's difficult for such people to protect anybody's right.
Right.
Yeah.
Ambassador, would you like to jump in?
No, no, it's like, I just wanted to say that the problem of the law enforcement is a very serious problem in this country, because actually people wait for a lot of bills to be passed, but we have some laws which are there. You know, you have a national gender policy framework in the form of the National Action Plan on Women, Peace and Security and Gender Policy. It's just not being implemented. And now that we have TNLA, we have really told them to start working. You know, this is very important, not for the donors, but for the people of this country. They expect the MPs to start passing the bills. There is the anti-gender-based violence bill, many others, and we need it to be done, you know, very urgently, you know, because it's not business as usual. And this is a message that we and many of my colleagues have really properly passed, not because it's coming from the donor community, but it's coming from the good people of this country who are really having high expectations. And I think it's very reasonable. All these laws need to be implemented, and the bills that needs to be passed, we really expect them to be passed in the forthcoming weeks and months.
Right. Would you say there's a laxity in wanting to implement these laws?
I wouldn't say that. I don't know. I see that there are a lot of procedures. People have been meeting, talking about other issues. But then at the end of the day, you know, I am very happy to see that the recess of 4 months is now out of question, you know, because the president himself, as he told us, has asked the MPs to take only 1 week, which is tough, but okay. This is, again, it's not business as usual in this country. We need all these bodies, these institutions to work, you know.
Right.
This is the minimum we can ask them.
Thank you so much. Lorna, through your activities on ground, how have you been able to support affected women and girls on ground?
Well, before I talk about supporting affected women on the ground and women and girls on the ground, I would want to say that there is a bit of laxity. This country needs to get serious. From August until today, 550 people are struggling with rules and procedure. Something must be missing. And I keep asking myself, what is the problem? Why is it taking that long? Until today, these people are not able to form committees. And then, boom, all of a sudden, now I'm hearing rumors that they're already tabling the legislation, the constitution-making process bill. I think it's sending a wrong signal. Parliament has to get organized.
Right.
In other setups, Parliament has programs. If it's difficult, let them call for help. The citizens are there to help. The civil society can help them. We can put program for them and ask them to validate.
Mm.
They need to ask for help if they don't know. Anyway, coming back to how we support girls and women.
Mm.
We have organizations that have tried their best with little resources that they have. We have organizations such as Crown the Woman. They are doing an amazing job, but it's very small because they have, at least they have kind of a survivor, a reporting pathway, and they have a hotline that survivors can be able to reach out for help.
Mm-hmm.
That is the little they're doing. But then how much more do we need? Because it's a widespread problem. And there are several organizations. I know of social workers in this country. The Ministry of Gender has social workers too who are trying to help, but it's not enough because the problem keeps growing and it's exacerbated by conflict, as Ambassador have said.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to look at it in a multifaceted way.
Mm.
And that brings me to this critical question of how much money are we as a nation allocating for that?
Mm.
Last I checked, we are using the oil before even exploring it. Can we have oil for GBV, for fighting GBV? And I think ministries need to stand up. I challenge the Minister of Gender to mainstream this issue, honestly. Up to her.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much, Lona. Ambassador, how is the EU supporting the country in ending?
First of all, I would say it's never always the EU by itself. It's all the member states. And this is really supporting women rights is really one of the backbones of our action here. It's in our DNA that I think nobody will question this. So we do it in many forms. First of all, we support human rights activists, and we are very close to people like Lorna. I'm very happy to have her today with us. This is what we do. We also support, of course, empowerment of women. I will not waste my time giving figures, but it's, for instance, 8 million of euros for women empowerment projects, you know, access to justice, access to economic, access to services. Then we support the access of girls to school.
Mm-hmm.
Education is a very crucial point in this country. We have been able in this very difficult time to mobilize 38 millions of euros for education, including, of course, supporting girls. This is one of the main element of this action. And then, of course, access of women training. The third point I would like to mention is that we have the peace agreement.
Mm.
It's the only source of legitimacy in this country. So it's very important also to help the implementing bodies, I'm talking about CITESAM and RGMEC, to advocate for a specific focus on gender. For instance, CITESAM has started reporting about GBV. This is important, I think, just to report. Then, of course, we exert within these bodies the pressure that everybody knows on the parties to make them implement the quota of 30%. It's like it is improving, actually. This is like not completely satisfactory, but it has improved. We have not reached the 35%, but we are about to do it, and I think that the people we talk to are serious about it.
Right. Thank you so much. Lorna, according to the latest figures, the majority of girls and women experience sexual violence for the first time under the age of 18. Now, children even comprise of around 25% of all reported cases of conflict-related sexual violence. Is this linked to forced marriages?
It's linked to so many things.
Mm.
And saying under 18 is an understatement. Let's say as low as 9,
right?
As low as 8.
Mm-hmm.
In this country, we don't want to talk about it, but there's a very high rate of defilement, which South Sudan has not defined it. Defilement is different from rape.
Yes.
And you look at the situation on the ground and you look at statistics. The statistics are alarming, but the situation on the ground is very bad.
Right.
It's dire.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say that it's true. And it's not 18, it's lower than 18.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's a big problem. I was just asking myself, why is it that we selectively address issues? If you remember, I can't get the article, but I should look for that.
Mm.
If you remember when the agreement was signed, if you look at cessation of hostilities, sexual and gender-based violence is mentioned.
Yeah.
And that does not mean that it's only at the point of conflict related.
Mm.
It's an issue that need to be translated into our reform and transformation agenda. How are we looking at that in our education sector? Are our children safe in the schools? Do we have safe schools for them?
Mm.
How are we strengthening the reporting pathway? Do we have a reporting pathway even in our villages? I think it's important for us to look at it comprehensively.
Right, right.
Yeah. And the trainings that we are having, what is the contents of that training?
Mm.
And I still have an issue. I remember when the unification of forces was an issue being discussed, as civil society, we recommended that this process should have human rights advisor,
mm-hmm.
and this process should have a gender advisor.
Right.
So that this are people who would be looking at the other elements of the reunification and gender the process, but also bring in the element of human rights into the forces, because the environment is bad. It's
right.
really
and
bad.
And just to bring to your attention,
yeah.
just the other day on Tuesday, a 15-year-old, I mean, 8 men descended on her,
yeah.
and gang raped her. Now
yeah.
police is looking for those particular men. And that's just one story that has made its way to the media. How
yeah.
many more are happening out there that we are not reporting about?
Yeah.
So how do we keep our girls safe? How are girls safe?
I think it's a bigger question. How do we make the country safe? And what has made the country to be not safe? Until we stop that, we'll be lying to ourselves to say that we're keeping our girls safe. Because you'll be shocked, this girl has to go look for water
yeah.
because we don't have running water in this country.
Yeah.
She falls victim.
Right.
This girl has to go to school. And the schools are in environment that they're not protected. So sometimes they're actually raped and gang raped around the school.
Mm,
how protected are they? Sometimes this girl, we've had cases of people being kidnapped in this country. Sometimes the school is far. This girl is looking for lift because she needs to get
yeah.
there timely. Somebody, a predator, picks her. So I think it's a bigger problem of the political setup of this country. And the leadership of this country have to look at it, because by not addressing it, actually they are propagating GBV indirectly. I'm so sorry, but I have to say it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Ambassador, so how do we move forward?
No, I mean, we have to address it. You know, as Lorna said, I see that, and we all agree, it's an issue of poverty. It's very much linked to poverty. People marry off their girls because they need the money, then they cannot send them to school because they cannot pay the fees. Then the women have to go very far to fetch water, to transport the bags, and you can see that in some areas which I've seen, when we distribute the food, the women are carrying these bags to the villages, and while men are just waiting, you know,
yeah.
and you see them around with weapons, and it's quite scary, I would say, because this is not what we want to have.
Mm.
And the way to address it, you know, we have to do it at political level. As much as we can, talking to people, but we also have to enforce it locally. I think the communities have to be also addressed, you know.
Yeah.
You have to be able to talk to people, to try to convince them, to try to bring about a sort of change of mentality, which is very important. And the change of mentality will not come from this government. It's not possible. You have to talk to the people, you have to talk to the leaders, you have to talk to the women, and we have to promote, and Lorna has rightly mentioned it, trauma healing, and I know that it's one of the issues that Mama Rebecca, for instance, wants to tackle, and she said that it's widespread,
yeah.
even in the ruling class, so you can imagine. So this is something which needs to be done.
Mm.
So it's very huge. You have these kind of incentives. You have also, and I really believe that it's essential, is the implementation of law and order. This is because, again, GVB violence is happening all over the world. It's not specific to South Sudan, even if it's exacerbated by local violence and poverty, but it's happening everywhere.
Right.
But it needs to be tackled. The first way is the law and order. And then, of course, at the same time, you have to bring this education to people, to say, okay, this what you do is not normal, what you do is totally wrong.
Mm.
And it can change. These things are changing. I remember when I came in this country for the first time 10 years ago, you couldn't see a lot of women. You know, you had some women in government, but not much. And, you know, when women were talking, the reactions were very funny sometimes. Yeah. You know, it has changed completely.
Yes, it
has. I came back 1 year ago, and then I find women all over the place, including young women, who are talking, and they are taken seriously. You will tell me it's not enough, and we all agree it's not enough. But this was a very positive change, and this is going to happen. Things are changing everywhere in the world. You know, mentalities are changing. The generation, new generations bring new mentalities, and this is what we need to have.
I agree with you. Mary Kaji, would you like to add?
Yeah, I think one other thing that we need to do, we need to start shifting the stigma to the perpetrator. Actually, the perpetrator needs to start feeling that what
That's
they
right.
have done is wrong. And this feeling, instead of the survivor continuing with the trauma, we need to shift that to the perpetrator. And that will help the survivor to see that the environment supports her.
Right.
It's not her fault, and she can still move on with her life. Unfortunately, in this country, we have the perpetrators keep moving around. They're at large, and some of these perpetrators are still in public offices, unfortunately. So we need to have standards, and people need to have standards from themselves. When you share table, when you rub shoulders with a perpetrator, you're an associate.
Yes,
you see. So can we weed out perpetrators so that it demonstrates to other people that it's not something worth doing? And once you perpetrate GBV against anybody, you are not worth sharing table with people. You have lost a bit in your values.
That's right.
And you have lost your seat around those who matter in society. I think until we do that, then it will contribute towards reducing the possibility of other people becoming perpetrators.
Right. Mary Kajalona and Ambassador Christian, thank you so much for making our time to speak to us. Is there anything else before I let you go?
No, we hope to bring about the necessary changes in the country. We are all working on it all together, I would say. We have the same agenda, all of us.
Right.
Yeah, I think what we need to do is nobody's immune to GBV. GBV is a problem that will get into all our families if we don't do something about it. The little girl who is being raped by the fence of her school is not different from the little girls that we have protected in our houses. One day, one time, it will catch up with all of us. We better address it.
Oh dear.
Thank you.
Lona and Ambassador Christian, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Irene.
Right.
Thank you.
And